Yes. Thank you, John and Jay. I appreciate that very much. Those were both great presentations and gave us a good understanding of, or beginning of our understanding, or maybe I should use John's term, increasing our risk savviness about the decisions and managing those risks that we face. Some questions that came in, and I hope for those people that submitted those questions, I'm asking them in the right way. John, first question for you is, what is the difference between heuristics and the analytical approaches and tools discussed by Jay? Followed by the question, is one better than the other?
Wow, that's a great question, or a great set of questions, because it is kind of confusing. And clearly, if a person does a bit of research on current thinking, you'll become even more confused, because there, as I described them, a couple of different camps out there as to whether or not one approach is right or correct or another. And I guess the short answer is both approaches are good and can be used to help make risk management choices in the face of that uncertain future that we all are looking into, whether it be regarding our daily lives, or if it's a business decision. And I think the main distinguishing point, and it's been made by a number of authors, is that one approach is quicker and maybe allows us to make decisions in the face of the need to make a decision rather quickly, or where we maybe don't have enough information or enough data. And that would be the heuristics approach, is one that we sort of instinctively and intuitively use. We use it across lots of different aspects of our life, whereas the analytics approach and the more in-depth research kind of based data intensive approach is not a bad one. And maybe some of us have a personality such that we would prefer to do that. And maybe even don't feel like we make good decisions unless we conduct that type of research. But clearly, we would not be able to do that in every circumstance we face as a manager, or even as a human being trying to navigate the decisions we all make on a daily basis. So that's kind of the challenge, is to try to weigh the impact or the consequences that a certain set of risks may pose for us in terms of the threats to the business, and where they are justified that we spend the time to drill down and collect that information, spend the time in comparing alternatives, approaches or strategies, and where they may leave us. Whereas in other cases, whether it's we're at the stoplight and should we go now, or if we're at the auction yard and should we raise our hand again, those kind of things those sort of decisions are probably going to be based on some kind of an internal or interior metric that we're using and constantly calculating, and been developed probably over a series of years of managing in the face of that uncertainty. The real challenge comes when we face challenges that we haven't faced before, right? So we might say climate change, or the availability of the to engage in a new enterprise that hadn't been previously open to us, and should I do that? Well, obviously those kinds of decisions may result in more risk for us, but they also may represent greater opportunity in the sense to earn more profit at least, and maybe some other ways as well. And so, those are some things to take into consideration as to whether or not you should do analysis or rely on a heuristic and just simply dismiss that opportunity as not being worth your consideration. So hopefully that helps answer and explain a little further.
Sure. Thank you very much for that question. And this next question just takes off from that. And Jay, you covered several risk management or risk analysis tools in your presentation. Is one approach better or worse than another? How does, let's say, a farmer or rancher decide which one to use?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it's a common question because you know there are a lot of different tools out there, and you know they each have their place. And the one thing I will say is that I always recommend that you get a good big picture understanding of what it is you're trying to decide before you dive too deep too quickly. Now, obviously, some of the more computational tools like a payoff matrix or even the decision tree or some of those statistical tools that I mentioned that we have that build the distribution and stuff like that, you need some information to plug into those tools to actually get something useful out of them. But the temptation sometimes is when you have a lot of information, a lot of data to work with, to dive right into that without really understanding you know, the choices you have available and really the big picture view of it. So they all have their place. Sometimes you can get into the analytics and sometimes you can get some good numbers to work with and the decision becomes clear. But always do that with a big picture in mind. So, you know, influence diagrams and things of that nature that are really good things to use all of the time, whether you have information or not. It's just a matter of how much more you can dig into the analytics. And I should mention that some of the tools that we've developed on the analytics side, we're developed with a thought process that perhaps you don't have a lot of information available, but we can still give you a rough picture of what the distribution of outcomes might look like. And if you do have an idea of some probabilities, you know, subjective probabilities of what you think they might be, that you can, with very little data, actually build a decent analytical picture of it. But always start with a good idea of what it is you're trying to decide from a big picture standpoint.
Okay. Is there a cost to any of those tools, or are they available free of charge, or what's basically
those were all developed one way or another pretty much with public grant dollars, so there is no cost to those. Those are available free of charge from producers at our website, which is rightrisk.org. So just Right Risk is one word, and then .org, and we have a tools page on there, a risk management tools page on there, and several tools are up there. Obviously, I just touched on a couple of things that we have available, and then not only are they available, but a whole bunch of them have supporting materials, whether it be in written form or presentation form or whatever, to help you work through it and actually use them, but no charge for using them.
Okay, thank you. Before we continue with our questions, I do want to thank everyone for responding to the polling questions that you've seen on your screen. That information is quite helpful. This next question is for both of you, John and Jay. How might multiple partners in a farming or ranching operation or other business, say, for example, husband and wife or father and son that are working on that place, how do they come to a consensus approach to the decision? Maybe not the decision itself, but the analytic tools and processes that you've been discussing. How do they come to a consensus on that decision-making process? Is there some things they can do that would help? And let's start with you first, John, and then we can go to Jay to respond to that question.
Well, that's a great question, and clearly a point that not only spouses are challenged to address, but any individual persons working together to try to achieve a common objective are going to face because of differences not only in personalities, but as you may guess, we did not delve into it too far, but differences in risk, what we call risk tolerance, right? Not everybody perceives the same set of circumstances or the same threats or the same opportunities in the same way because we don't all view risk in the same way. And it's a fascinating area. I find it fascinating, those differences between individuals. I mean, it could be a father and son, be a father and daughter, it could be mother and a daughter. And even though they have similar backgrounds, as far as, you know, working situation, family background, and so on, they may not perceive the same threat in the same way. And so that difference, meaning one person really feels threatened and we must do take action, you know, to protect ourselves. And the other individual says, well, no, this is an opportunity. Look what we can do with this. Can lead to lots of different kinds of conflict between individuals that they don't really understand why that's happening. You know, they typically don't think of it as being that kind of a difference in perspective. So the point, I guess, I would make is, first of all, recognize that that can happen. And second of all, I think it's helpful to communicate about it. And to do that, one way would be to use the risk influence calculator that Jay presented, and I'll let him talk about that a little bit more about in terms of how they might use it. But certainly if you were to go through and consider a series of alternatives that you're facing and score them, the differences could come out in that way. And so you could better understand how come, you know, we may be in conflict over that or in some dispute about what the best response might be. But clearly those can be issues that lead to problems in terms of our ability to manage forward or to reach consensus. And when that happens, well, it can lead to divisions that cause other problems besides just that the business isn't functioning well. So with that, I think I'll just let Jay go ahead and explain a little bit more about some of the tools.
Yeah, great answer, John. And I'll just add a couple of things on it. And one is he suggested was about the tools. And it actually is tied a lot to what he said, which in my mind just comes down to communication and having that conversation. And so that risk influence calculator, just talking through those threats and what you might do about them, you know, how big of a threat is this risk and what are all the alternatives and what do they cost to actually do something about it, will open up a nice conversation about just understanding each other a little better and maybe help come to a consensus that you all can agree on. Another tool that we have is our risk preference calculator. And usually, especially with you know, relatives that are working together, whether they're married, a married couple, or older generation or younger, is just go ahead and we got a quiz in that risk preference calculator. We got a couple of other aspects to it, but it helps you realize just how much of a risk taker each of you might be, and any glaring differences between each of you. So just that you have that understanding as a perspective that the other one is bringing to it. Besides the tools, one other comment I would make is that you're making decisions constantly in agriculture, and at any point in time, there's likely to be several decisions on the table. So part of this coming to a consensus is understanding that you don't have to go one direction or one person's view of risk every single time. And so keep that in mind as you're going through. And I say that from a standpoint that I've seen producers working with, say, a younger generation on the marketing side, and the older generation is a little leery of maybe some marketing tools, but they agree to allow the younger generation to market some of the crop using some marketing tools that the younger generation thinks ought to be incorporated into the operation. So the older generation has come to a consensus that, hey, it's okay, I'll allow that to happen to that level, but I'm not turning everything over in that direction. Or maybe they agree that the marketing is going to be handled by the younger generation and they're going to handle some of the production risk decisions. But there's a plenty of opportunities, I guess, to have some give and take on the decisions themselves.
Okay, thank you. A question is, and maybe you both want to answer it or you can choose. In agriculture, how important is the insurance agent in risk management decisions?
Well, insurance obviously is a big part of agriculture, especially on the crop side, but even more so in the last decade or so on the livestock side. So an insurance agent can play a huge role in terms of the producer understanding, first of all, what tools are available on the insurance side and what they're designed to address. I do a lot of education, and John and Jeff, you guys do too, on insurance tools. And I don't think you're ever really done educating producers on how those things function, how they're designed to function, and so on and so forth, and what risks they're actually there to address. So insurance agents can play a, a huge role in just understanding some of the mechanics of how those products work and how they're designed.
Okay, thank you. John?
Yeah, I guess I'd just offer that they can also certainly help better understand the cost. So that's part of the decision, of course, cost benefit in terms of decision, but also the levels of insurance that are possible. Because many of these products allow you to vary the level of coverage. And sometimes to protect against the threat you're concerned about requires only, you know, a certain level of coverage at certain cost, and in which case you don't have to have maximum insurance. And so in that case, the insurance agent can help sort of weed through that, as well as maybe some payoff experience. How often do people who purchase at this level and at this cost, you know, receive a payment? How often does it offer the protection that you're interested in? So those are things that I think an insurance agent can help better understand, because they have a little experience with that.
This next question, I'm going to take a stab at responding to, and then let both you, John, and then Jay respond as well. And it's, besides the agricultural community, who else uses RightRisk? And I would say that both speakers today and myself, because of our day-to-day work of working with farmers and ranchers in both one-on-one and group settings, that's our primary focus. But many of our tools, our writings, etc., really reach across the spectrum of businesses and personal decision making and choices that we make in our daily lives. For example, I work a lot in the estate planning and succession planning. The succession planning primarily for farmers and ranchers, but also small businesses. It's the skills that people learn can be used in their daily lives. And quite often what I'll do is have a workshop or a one-on-one coaching session, and then refer people to the courses that we have online to get more in-depth information, or to share it with family members or other partners that were not involved in that workshop or coaching session. I know that we have a worldwide audience of not only farmers and ranchers, but ag lenders, ag managers, other educators, et cetera, in and outside of agriculture, who are on our monthly newsletter. Again, we talk a lot, we focus on agricultural issues, but there are some family issues and financial issues that are involved there as well. So while our focus is on the agricultural community, primarily farmers and ranchers, we do reach across all spectrums of society. So John, response to that question?
Yeah, I personally had the opportunity, for example, to work with the youth audience, which I don't know that you would think of immediately as a user of some of our tools, but we have worked with them in terms of better understanding some of the business alternatives and how those decisions that they might make in terms of managing risk would play out. And they've also enjoyed using our risk simulation, which you have online, a number of different scenarios there that they can practice making risk management decisions and see the outcome. And we've had offered a number of presentations to youth audiences in particular, where they've really enjoyed that opportunity. But it also, we also have courses and materials that cover things that new and beginning operators, whether they be really young or maybe just getting started, college graduate level, or as Jay described, the, you know, dad's now letting them take over a portion of the business. We've got courses and materials that cover topics like record keeping, financial analysis, and better understanding what those ratios and indices mean, and how to put together a financial statement. A number of things to cover that dimension, which a lot of young people are really looking for information on. So younger folks have definitely been a big user in some of the material we put together.
Jay?
Yeah, I'd just add that, recognizing that the agricultural community is a large community. I mean, everybody always says there's not that many farmers and ranchers, but there's a whole bunch of people that are, related to them or working with them, whether they be in agribusiness or government or education or whatever. And so while our tools and materials are predominantly focused on the ag producer, they do spill over into agribusiness and other people's occupations and stuff. And I just had one story to John's comment about working with young producers or a youth audience. I once used our simulation in a math class in a junior high, and the idea was the teacher wanted to teach the students about probability. And so a lot of these things that we have these tools designed for in terms of context being an ag decision, they carry over into everyday decision making, as Jeff mentioned, just in terms of understanding risk and how to make decisions in the face of uncertainty.
And that reminds me, I once was gave a series of workshops to a church group, none of whom were in attendance actually had any ties to agriculture, maybe their great-grandparents or something like that. But they and their parents had no ties to farming and ranching other than they eat on a daily basis. But all I had to do was take many of our risk management tools, the applicable ones, and just not say farm or ranch, but apply it to their daily lives. And they seemed to get a lot out of that, according to that information. So